You ever come across a name dropper? You know what I mean? A person that you're having a conversation with and they're telling you this awesome story and then they drop a big name. You know, like when I was in college, I know a preacher that tells this story. When I was in college, I had a class with Michael Jordan. You know, a name dropper that just at the right time drops the right name that just makes you go, wow, man, I wish that was me. You know, if you're in some type of sports conversation, there are some names that you can use that don't require a last name. If we were to have a basketball conversation today, there would be some names that I would use that don't require a last name. I may use names like LeBron or Kobe. Or maybe even if we want to go old school, I may say the name Wilt or Magic or Kareem. And a lot of you know exactly who I'm talking about. I don't even have to use a last name. Well, maybe you don't know basketball. I would venture to guess majority of us know college football, particularly from this state. And so for this past season, I might use the name Trent. And everybody knows who I'm talking about. Or for 2 years ago, for those from the other side of the state, I might use the name Cam. Names that you don't have to give a last name because a last name is not needed. Everybody knows who you're talking about. Well, in the book of Acts, there's a name that you could use that everybody knew exactly who you were talking about. That name was Jesus. What I want to do tonight is I'm actually taking one of our lessons from our Wednesday night series that we're doing in the teen class called Big Church and using that to talk about tonight the big name. There was a big name in the book of Acts that really caused the church to grow. That's what we're doing through this study, is looking at the first century church in the book of Acts and asking ourselves the question, why did they grow so much? I mean, how could they go from 3,000 members on the first day in Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 4, there's over 5,000 people, and that's only about 2 years difference. How did they grow so much? What were they doing? Well, they had some big things because the church was a big deal to them. And can we take those big things, put them in our church, and experience the same amount of growth? That's what we're doing. So tonight, we're just taking one of those lessons and studying it tonight. So some of the teens recognize that slide. What I want to do is we're going to study Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 20. We're not going to actually read through all of it, but I just want to kind of sum up the story of what's going on. So Acts 3, 1 through chapter 4 and verse 12. You can open it in your Bible. I'm going to take just a minute to kind of describe what's going on there. In Acts 3:1, we meet this guy that was crippled from birth. And he had some nice fellas that would pick him up and carry him to the temple gate and set him down where he could beg from people for money. That's basically how he survived every day, we would gather from it. And so he's sitting there at the temple gate, and he's begging from all these people that are walking by. And along come Peter and John, two of Jesus' apostles, and he begs from them. And when he begs from them, he doesn't realize what he's actually asking them. And Peter looks at him, and I find it interesting. Peter says, look at us. This guy apparently had his head down. I would venture to guess it was from being ashamed from having to beg. I mean, wouldn't you feel the same way? I mean, this guy was desperate. This is the only way he gets by every day is just to beg from people. Man, I can't imagine how ashamed this guy felt. And so he looks up at Peter and he's expecting to get something from him. And the first thing out of Peter's mouth is, well, I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money to give you. Can you imagine how this guy felt? Well, great. Why do you want me to look at you now if you don't have anything to give me? And then Peter says, but what I do have, I will give you. This guy has no idea what's in store, what's coming up next. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Instantly, Acts tells us, strength comes into this man's legs and into his ankles, and he hops up, and he's so excited, and they start walking into the temple, and this guy's walking, and he's leaping, he's jumping up and down, and he's just praising God. And as you would imagine, as they come into the temple, it's just drawn this big scene. Everybody's looking. Everybody knows who this guy is. They're all going, hey, isn't that so-and-so that sits at the temple gate every day, that begs from us every day? Yeah, I know that guy. Every day I walk past him with my head down, you know, trying to avoid him. You know, we even do that sometimes. You know, act like I didn't hear you talk to me or beg from me. That's what they would have done. And so he's walking and jumping up and down and just making this big scene, so excited about this miracle. And the crowd starts talking and they start gathering around him. I mean, this guy's 40 years old. He hadn't walked a day in his life. And they start asking, hey, who did this? Peter and John, did y'all do this? You know, who did this awesome miracle? And Peter stops and he says, hold on, folks. It wasn't us. it was the God that we serve through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, there He goes dropping that name. He says, you remember Jesus, right? You know, the guy just a short while ago that y'all put to death. You know, you did it in ignorance, and God overlooked that, but you still put Him to death. You know, Pilate tried to wash his hands of it, but you insisted on the murderer Barabbas to be released to you. Yeah, that guy. You know, that y'all put through all those false trials, and you cried, hey, if you can save yourself, come down and we'll believe you. Yeah, that guy. That's who we're talking about, has performed this mighty miracle. It's in His name and through faith in His name that this man stands before you whole. Well, there were some other people standing around that were overhearing this. They're called the temple guards, the Sadducees, and the priests. And they pick up on that name Jesus, and they know what's going on here. And so they rush over there, and they start confronting them, and they just decide, we're just going to arrest you guys and throw you in jail. Which probably made everything worse, because everybody was listening to this message. Nobody was getting upset yet. In fact, it had a positive impact, because we don't know how many people were saved on that day, but the church grew to over 5,000 around that time. And so they throw Peter and John in jail, and they leave them there overnight. And the next day, they bring them in front of them. And remember, Peter and John are standing in front of the people that were directly responsible for killing Jesus. And they ask him, by what power or by what name have you done this? And here goes Peter. He name drops again. He says, well, you remember Jesus of Nazareth, right? You know, the guy that you killed? The guy that you crucified? Well, God raised him up. And God has elevated and exalted him. That's who this mighty man was healed. That's the name in which this man was healed. Well, they don't know what to do. And so they kick him out of the room, and they're talking amongst themselves. What are we going to do? We can't just have him walking around town spreading the name of Jesus. I mean, this is just going to get crazy. And so they bring him back in, and they say, all right, don't you teach in that name anymore, or there are going to be consequences. And Peter just says, this is the Eric Gray translation. Whatever, dude. We can't help it, okay? We can't help what we have seen and what we've heard. That's what's going on in Acts chapter 3. And Peter just continues to drop this big name Jesus over and over again. You know, there's really something about that name. Doesn't that sound like a song? If not, we should write a song titled that, right? Something about that name Jesus. This man was healed through faith in the name of Jesus. In Acts 4 and verse 12, Peter preaches salvation that can't be found in any other name. In Acts 5:41, the apostles leave the presence of the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. Now remember, by suffering, these guys have been flogged. They have been beaten to an inch within their life. Paul tells us in Philippians 2:10 that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that we are washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus. Peter tells the crowd in Acts 2 to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus. Paul and Barnabas in Acts 15, it says of them that they were willing to risk their lives for the name of Jesus. Man, there's something big about that name. I don't know what it is, but we're going to find out before we get done tonight. What is so big about the name Jesus? Well, this idea of the name is not a new thing. In fact, it's found all throughout the Old Testament. I want to show you four different verses that talk about the name. Psalm 8 and verse 1, how excellent is your name in all the earth. The New Living Translation says, your majestic name fills the earth. Psalm 34 and verse 3, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Exodus 20 verse 7, it was one of the Ten Commandments. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. Don't take it in vain. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. It was a big deal. In fact, in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, even though Jesus was still under the old law, in teaching the model prayer says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. There's something big about the name. And in the book of Acts, there was something big about the name of Jesus. So what is it? Why did the church grow so much? Because of the name. And that's what I want to look at tonight. We're going to spend the majority of our time talking about the application. How did they grow so much? Because of the name. And And in return, how can we grow as a church because of the name? Three things tonight. The first thing is, they strengthen one another in the name. Now, I want to go back to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and I want to actually read the text. I summarized it for you, but I want to get into the text a little bit. Acts 3, verses 6 through 8. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet, and he began to walk, and then he went into the temple courts with them, walking, jumping, and praising God. You know, this guy is sitting at the temple gate, and he's begging for money. But when Peter and John look at him, they see somebody with an even deeper need. Doesn't that really describe us? Don't we sometimes ask for certain things, but really it's just a cue into a deeper need? Aren't there all things? Don't all of us have something that we're struggling with? Don't we have some type of deeper need? Whether we could say in just a general sense, yeah, we all struggle with sin, but maybe in a more specific sense that I have a deeper need in this area that maybe I'm not willing to ask help for. So I may ask for it in other ways, or I may even just totally hide it because I don't want to open up and share about it. But I have a deeper need. I have something going on that I need some help with. And when Peter and John look at this guy, they say, "Okay, hold on a second. I know you need money. I know you need to live today, but I want to tell you, how can you live forever?" It's like the old saying, you can give a man a fish and he'll eat today, or you can teach a man to fish and he'll eat forever. They decided to look at this guy and say, "Hold on, we could give you a couple of bucks and you'll be okay today, but man, if we could do something even greater for you, then you could in turn bless others." And that's exactly what they did. And the only way they did that was they saw an opportunity there. And if we want to grow as a church and we want to strengthen one another in the name of Christ, then we've got to be looking for those deeper needs. That it's more than just, "Hey, I need some help with my rent." It's even deeper than that. What else do you need help with? What else is going on? What else can I give you? "Hey, I just need some help moving." Okay, what's the deeper need there? And that requires a lot of prayer and a lot of attention and a lot of thought. But that's what we got to do, because we got to strengthen one another. Let's look at Acts 2. Just a couple of verses before what we're looking at, verses 42 to 47. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone that had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What were they doing? How were they strengthening one another in the name? They were just simply being a family. Whatever anybody needed, they were taken care of, plus some. Plus building them up in their faith. Yeah, this guy needed some money, and now he can go get some money because now he's got the legs to walk, and now he's got the opportunity to praise God and the scene that brought. And they looked for an opportunity to add this guy to their number, not to just throw him a couple of dollars and say, "Hey, have a nice day, Jesus loves you, but hey, we can bring you into the family of God, and you're going to be blessed so much more by that." And that's all the early church was doing. That's why they were growing so much, because they were a family. They didn't look at one another as someone that sat across the auditorium, but someone that was a brother or a sister. Not somebody that lived in their neighborhood, but somebody that needed to be part of the family of God. Someone that they knew had a deeper need, and the only way that it could be met was by bringing them in to the family of God. And not only bringing them in, but getting them involved. Finding them a place to serve. Because we can all come and sit in an auditorium and stay disconnected from God forever. But the way that we'll stay connected is when we get plugged into somewhere. And if you're not plugged into the church, if you haven't found your place where you can serve or some ministry to get involved in, let me encourage you. Talk to some folks. Let's find you a place to serve, because that's where true spiritual growth comes from. That's where the excitement of serving God and of living out that faith, that's where it comes from, of making a difference in other people's lives. That's exactly what this guy was going to be able to do, all because they decided to strengthen him through the name of Jesus. And that's what we got to do. We got to look for those opportunities to strengthen people in the name of Christ, bring them into the church, get them plugged in, and then watch them praise God, and that excitement just to rub off on other people. That's the first thing that they did. They strengthened one another in the name. The second thing that we see from this story is that they shared their story about the name. Acts 4 and verse 20, it says, "We cannot help but speak about the things that we've seen and heard." That reminds me of just a couple of chapters before in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is getting ready to go back into heaven, and he looks at his apostles and he says, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, but you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth," or in all the ends of the earth. "You'll be my witnesses." What's the job of a witness? It's not to make up some story that never happened. The job of a witness is just to say, here's what I saw, here's what I heard. That's all I know. It's interesting that Jesus says, "You be my witness." You just tell people, what have you seen and what have you heard? Now let's hold on to that verse for just a second. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, But if I say, I will not mention him, he's saying, I will not talk about God, I will not speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire that's shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Jeremiah says, okay, I said to myself, I'm not going to talk about God anymore. You people, you don't want to hear it? I'm just not going to talk about him. And you'll just be happy about that. But then he says, you know, I tried to do that and it just didn't work. I couldn't help but talk about it. And the more I tried to hold it back, the bigger the fire grew. And it just grew out of me. And it was just all I could talk about. That's what the early church did. They couldn't help but talk about what God had done in their life. They couldn't help but talk about the name of Jesus. And it wasn't that they were making up these big elaborate stories that had never happened. They were just sharing what God had done in their life. So my question for you is this. What has God done in your life that you've got a story to share? Let me give you some examples. Have you survived cancer? Oh man, what a story to share of how God has saw you through that. Man, if you've been pulled from the chains of addiction, have you got a story to share? Have you almost lost your marriage or your family, but only by the grace of God were you able to hold those together? Have you got a story to share? Maybe you were like me and you grew up in the church and you always took it for granted until that one day when it clicked. And since then, it's never been the same. Man, have we got a story to share? And that's just a couple of examples. There are certainly greater stories than that could be told. And the point is that all we got to do is just share what God has done. Has God been working in your job? Has God been working through your family? Has God been working through your baseball team? Has God been working in your school? Has God been working just some way in your life? Share it. Tell people about it. Post it on Facebook. Post it on Twitter. Write somebody an email. When you're sitting there at lunch, it should just flow out of you. That's what Jeremiah said. I can't help but talk about it. It's just a fire in my bones. When the apostles were threatened not to speak in Jesus' name anymore, they said, hey, we can't help but talk about the Lord. That's the same for the early church. Everywhere they went, they just talked about Jesus because it was exciting. Awesome things were being done, and not just miraculous things, just people coming to the Lord. And think about all the people that have been baptized lately at this church. How exciting is that to see new brothers and sisters added in the faith, and all the awesome ministries that are going on, and all the people that are being reached to and are being pulled to the Lord, and all the people around the world that are being impacted because of the mission works that we support, and because of all the awesome things that are going on. Man, that's exciting stuff. And you take that and then you pair that with, man, let me tell you what God's done in my life lately. Let me tell you how he's led me on this journey. Let me tell you how he brought me to where I am today. You get people's attention. You may drop the Jesus name, but not in some awkward sense. Because people only get awkward when you're awkward. People get excited when you're excited, right? And when you're excited about that and you're just pouring your life out to them. And you're just sharing what God has done. That's when we grow. That's all the early church did. It had nothing to do with these miracles. It had nothing to do with any of that. It was just they were excited about their faith. They were excited about the name of Jesus. They wanted to share it. And that's what we got to do. The third thing is how they grew because of the name is they preached salvation in the name. They preached salvation in the name of Jesus. Acts 4 and verse 12, Peter says, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. That's an exclusive message. One only. As you imagine, it wasn't well received. There were people that didn't like the idea of only salvation in Jesus' name. It's no different now, is it? And we shouldn't be surprised. There are people that don't agree with that idea, that you just do whatever you want to do, be a good person, and maybe do some good things, give to a charity, and that's all you need to do. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of people who will tell you it doesn't matter if you follow Jesus or if you're Islamic or if you're Buddhist or if you're Hindu. It really doesn't matter. Just whatever suits you, whatever makes you happy, and you live a good life, and that'll be good enough. That's not what Peter taught. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus himself taught. Jesus himself taught, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's an exclusive message. Notice Jesus doesn't say it hatefully. He doesn't condemn people because they are of another faith. He just tells them, listen, this is how it is. There's one way and one way only. And all the early church did was just tell people about the way. There's one way to get to heaven. And it doesn't matter what way you're following. If you want to go to heaven, it's this way. That's it. There's one life, one source of eternal life. There's one truth, and that's it. Peter told him in Acts 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus. One name. That's it. One Savior, one message, one hope of salvation, one way to be saved. That's it. Paul said the same thing, 1 Corinthians 6:11. You were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of Jesus. Of Jesus. One way. Why? Why is there only one way to be saved? Because there's only one Savior who has ever died, been buried, and been resurrected. Only one. You study any other faith, and if they claim to have any type of Savior, he's not alive anymore. There's only one source of eternal life, and that's from the one Savior who's still alive. And that's Jesus. And the history books show they don't know where he is. Because the Bible shows there he is. He's in heaven. He's alive. And that should impact us every day. Because we've got a Savior who's still living. And we don't have to be ashamed to share that message. Because it's the truth and people need to hear it. And when we do like Ephesians says, that we teach it in love. And we pair that together with our stories of what God is doing in our life. And we also pair that together with trying to strengthen somebody in the name of Jesus to build them up and to pick them up and to give them strength. Man, people get excited about that. And people want to hear about that. It's when we stand and we give some type of condemning stare or judgmental statement that turns them off. But when we're just talking about what God is doing in my life, and let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about how He said to become a Christian. Man, the Bible speaks for itself, doesn't it? The Bible's clear enough. And that's all people need to know is, what does God say? Not what do I think? What do I believe? What does God say? What does the book say? What does the author of eternal life tell me how to become a Christian? One way to heaven. Exclusive. No other way but Jesus. Paul says the reason why that is because in Philippians 2, he's been given the name above every name. That name is Lord. Jesus is Lord because he conquered death. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place above any other, that at the name, and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A couple things stand out to me about this verse. First off, everybody's going to confess. Everybody's going to bow down, whether in heaven, earth, or under the earth. I don't know if you know this, but not only does that include us, that includes spiritual beings, angels, demons. It includes them all. The devil one day is going to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to go to heaven. But there's going to come a day where there's no denying the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And the beautiful thing is that if we do that today, we make that confession today, then on that judgment day when we confess it, there's no worries. Because my confession is made unto salvation, right? Man, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord of all the earth. He's the Lord of all salvation. And I want Him to save me because He's the only source of salvation. And I want to be baptized into Him because that's where forgiveness is found. Because He is above all others. There are going to be others on Judgment Day who will confess His name, but it won't be made for salvation. It'll be made because there's no denying the fact that they missed it. I don't want any of us to be in that position. He's the Lord. And you can confess His name tonight. You can call on His name tonight by being baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away. You can be saved and be added to this big church. Not big church in terms of numbers, but big church in terms of this is a big deal. This is huge. What we're doing here tonight is tremendous that the world needs to know so that they can have the opportunity to get involved in this huge movement, this big church, so that they can know that big name that saved us. And it's all about sharing it. It's all about strengthening others. It's all about preaching and teaching the name of Jesus. It's all about sharing your story. So tonight, maybe you need to make that good confession and you need to be baptized into Christ, or maybe you need to be strengthened tonight because you're dealing with some pretty difficult things. Man, this group of people is good at building you up. I can promise you that. And so if you have any need tonight, if we need to pray for you, or if you need to be added to the church, then you can come as we stand and sing.